In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Lenten greetings. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to our weekly podcast where we hear the readings for our Sunday Mass. We are entering into this second week of the Lenten season, this second Sunday of Lent. And we always hear on the second week of Lent this account of the Transfiguration. So those of you who are watching the YouTube podcast of this, I was in the Church of the Transfiguration in the Holy Land, and this is one of the pictures that I took of this church. So one of the threads from the Old Testament to the Psalm to the New Testament, and even this writing to Timothy from Paul this week, is to think about trust. To think about trust. Trust is such a theme. Trust is such a discipline. It's a way of life that we're called to trust in God. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that even in the United States, our money is marked "In God We Trust." How much does God trust us, these human beings, this humankind that He created? And how much trust do we have in the Almighty God? So listen, not only through these scriptures, certainly through the Word of God, but also in these prayers, the antiphons that we'll hear throughout this Holy Mass. I encourage you to pick up one of our booklets, the missals, the Magnificat, or today I'm using the Word Among Us. They have daily meditations from Ash Wednesday all the way to Easter Sunday. And so it's a great way to go back and read those antiphons. And typically the antiphons or the prayers before the communion, our final communion prayer, they come from the scriptures. So it's an invitation to dive deeper into the scriptures. So we'll do that today. Let us pray. "Of you my heart has spoken. Seek His face. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face from me." The Collect Prayer for the second Sunday of Lent. Let us pray. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Before we hear the readings for this second Sunday of Lent, listen to this collect prayer. Again, the priest is gathering us all up to prepare to hear the word of God so we can be prepared to receive Holy Communion. If we are indeed in Holy Communion with the church, in Holy Communion with one another, I believe. And this is asking God, who says, "Listen to your beloved Son." We're going to hear that scripture today. We also heard God say, "Listen to my Son," when? In the baptism of Jesus. We just celebrated that a few weeks ago, of John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And we heard from the sky the voice of God, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." We're going to hear that again today. Listen to him. And that we would be made pure by nourishing on the word of God, by us inwardly being nourished by your word. That's why we're doing this podcast, to be inwardly nourished by the word of God, so that
What's the point? So that we behold God's glory. So we're asking for that grace. We're asking for that gift. We're asking for that nourishment. And if I'm going to receive that nourishment, I better turn away from sin. I better repent from sin. I better cleanse myself through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving so that I can receive the many gifts that God wants to give me. What a powerful prayer to get us started on this second Sunday of Lent. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. From the shining cloud the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, listen to him. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The thread that I also want to unpack as we hear these readings and we listen to the prayers in between these readings is trust. I mentioned this trust. How much do you trust God, and how much does God trust us? The closing prayer, the prayer after the communion, as the priest sends us off to mission, because this is where we are fed in the Holy Eucharist so that we go and complete our mission. We go and live out when we hear Jesus say, "The one who follows me is the one who must deny himself, take up his cross daily." My daily life. That's your vocation. Are you married? Are you single? Are you a priest? Are you religious? Are you a student? Are you engaged to be married? Are you working in the world? Are you serving in some way? How are you living your daily life? That's what you're called in that state of life. Whatever age you are, you will receive burdens. Burdens will come to you. If you're providing for a family, the burden of a job, of finances, of being able to pay the bills, of being able to feed your children, to be able to provide health care and education and provide a roof over your head, all of those daily duties to care for your spouse, to care for your family, to care for your parents, to care for the children, to care for your neighbor, to love and serve God. All of these things require sacrifice and love. True love only comes through sacrifice. And so there are hardships, difficulties, disappointments, disasters, death that comes to us in our daily life. But we're called to trust in the Lord. So here's the prayer after communion, where we're being sent off to get back into that daily world. As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord. Give thanksgiving for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In that prayer, we are hearing God is entrusting to us, his creatures, on earth as it is in heaven. He's imparting to us in the Mass is heaven on earth. We can't get any closer to heaven than being in the holy mysteries, the Paschal mystery. And God is entrusting in us this opportunity to come close to him, that intimacy, as we receive the glorious mysteries. We've received the word. If we're prepared, we've gone to confession, our heart is right. We're in holy communion with the church. We receive the holy mysteries of the Holy Eucharist. And now God is allowing us, while still on earth, to partake in the things of heaven. That's a mystery. That's awesome. That is true life. And so let's go back to the entrance antiphon. I like to look, now I'm starting to look more carefully in that entrance antiphon. And the entrance antiphon that we hear, there's actually two options, but I'm going to read the first one. It comes from Psalm 27. "Of you my heart has spoken, seek his face. It is your face, O Lord, that I seek. Hide not your face from me. Okay, so let's go to the Psalms and let's just look at that real closely. And I just, it gives you a chance to, okay, let's open up one of those Psalms and read and hear what it says. Here's Psalm 27. And I had to chuckle because I had thought about this theme of trust. And then I look in the Psalm 27, it says in my Bible, trust in God is the title of this Psalm. And the first verse of Psalm 27 is, I think, a familiar one for many of us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? And then it goes down to the second portion of the Psalm, Psalm verse 7 of 27. Hear my voice, Lord, when I call. See, I'm trusting that God does hear my voice when I call. I'm not crying out to a void. I'm not crying out to a God that doesn't hear. I'm calling out to the God who loves me from all eternity. Have mercy on me and answer me. I'm crying out in trust. Come, says my heart, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. You are my salvation. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, God, my Savior. And then at the end of this psalm, it says, I love this phrase, and it's said in different ways throughout the psalm. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Be stout-hearted. Wait for the Lord. In that cry is a patience, in a patience that's trusting. I believe that I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Isn't that beautiful? I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Be stout-hearted. Wait for the Lord. Are you impatient? You lack trust. You lack trust. So call on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Be patient with the timing of the Lord. That's in the first entrance antiphon of the Holy Mass for today. In Genesis, there's so much here, so much richness, but I'm just going to mention, and in the commentary that I read about this, it's coming in Genesis. What did we hear last week? But we heard about the fall, Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent, and where original sin enters into humanity. And then it is about 11 generations later that Abraham comes on the scene. A lot of time for us, not for God, but a lot of time has passed. And now God is calling out to this man, Abram. And he tells Abram, and here's the mystery, is that Abram's listening, that Abram hears God calling. Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house. Go from everything that you know, everything that you have identity with, everything that you're comfortable with, everything that's part of your world, your identity, and go away to a place I will show you. I'm not going to tell you where, I'm not going to give you a map. Go. And then there's promises that God has for Abram. I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. Now, we learned in the verses before this in sacred scripture that Abram was like 70 or 80 years old. His wife had been barren, so they were not able to bear children. And then he says he's going to bless you and that the communities of the earth, not just his own tribe, but everyone, the nations, will find blessing in Abram. Yet he doesn't have any descendants. How is this possible? Right? With God, all things are possible. And then the last sentence is that beautiful sentence of truth. Abram went as the Lord directed. He was obedient, he listened, and he obeyed. This is the call of the Christian to listen and to obey. And it's you hear the harmony of this in the psalm we pray, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. When have you had to ascend to the Lord? I don't know the outcoming of this, Lord, of this relationship, of this job, of the lack of this job, of whatever it is you're engaged in. But you trust. I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm doing what your will calls me to do, even though I don't have the answer. We don't have the answer. Only God has the answer. Here's the beautiful thing, and I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy. This is chapter 1. And this is Paul writing to Timothy because, again, we get this sense of trust. So let me open up the scriptures because Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's a beloved disciple of Paul. And Paul mentions something that I think is a couple of things that are beautiful. He mentions a lot of things that are beautiful. But Paul, in his letter to Timothy, is recognizing that Timothy has come from a family that was full of faith. He says, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois. So even the grandmother of Timothy is mentioned in sacred scripture, and in your mother Eunice, and that I am confident lives in you. Paul has a trust, has a confidence in the ability of Timothy, not because of the strength of Timothy or the merits of Timothy, but because of his faith and because of the faith that has been in his family, that his family has shown a faith in God, a trust in God. And then he says this. So think about the bishop. Think about the apostles who were given this particular gift from Jesus to bless and curse, you know, to be able to hear confessions and offer absolution comes from the imposition of the hands of the bishop who ordains the priest. And Paul says, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God. Stir into flame. What does that make you think of? Makes me think of the Holy Spirit. Stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. You know, we receive from the priest the imposition of the hands at baptism, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also receive from the gift of the hands of the bishop and by special permission of the bishop to the priest for confirmation. Many times we're confirmed by the bishop, but sometimes it's through the priest by permission of the bishop to receive the more gifts and nourishment of the Holy Spirit. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But here we go with the scripture we heard today. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. So are you enduring hardship today? Is there hardship in your life? I think for most of us, the answer is yes. I've just experienced a hardship. I'm enduring a hardship today. Or guess what? Tomorrow, you'll be experiencing a hardship. Maybe that hardship is observing a loved one enduring a hardship, an illness, a lack of job, a lack of mental capacity, a lack of authentic identity in oneself, a lack of trusting God, a lack of faith. Maybe your heart pours out for the sinners who have walked away from faith, who are engaging and indulging in the temptations of the world, the devil, and sin, and are going down the road of darkness. And we want to pray for those who are in danger of losing their faith, or who have lost their faith and are abandoning God. So there's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of difficulty. There's a lot of sorrow and suffering. But Paul says to Timothy, and he says it to us as Christians, bear your share of the hardship for the gospel. This is not in vain, but for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In him do I trust. In him do I trust. And finally, as we look at the transfiguration, and there's a couple of meditations that come from a book I like to use for commentary in conversation with God, because we see this. Jesus leads Peter, James, and John. We know Peter becomes the first pope. We know that James and John have a special place in the heart of Jesus, and they were taken to experience some special encounters with Christ. Many commentaries say that this experience that they were able to see the transfiguration, to see a glorified God, was to help them to not grow scandalous in the cross, because the cross was coming, and the presentation of the transfiguration in the scriptures, you hear Jesus predicting his passion once. There's the transfiguration, and there's two more times that Jesus will explicitly tell his disciples, the Son of Man will be arrested, he will be condemned, he will be falsely accused, he will be crucified, he will be killed. And then every time he says, and on the third day be raised. Praise God. And so Jesus entrusts this experience of the transfiguration with his disciples. He gives them a special moment that isn't allowed to the others, so they can be the strength for others when Jesus does go down that road of Calvary. If we are with him, and this is talking about facing temptation, facing struggles, facing difficulties, facing struggles and sufferings. If we are with Jesus, it is all the same whether we find ourselves surrounded by the greatest consolations in the world or in a hospital bed, suffering indescribable pain. The only thing that matters is that we always see him and live in his presence. So remember to trust in the Lord. Here's a quote. I'm going to close with this. It's from St. Teresa of Avila from her Way of Perfection. If God ever causes you to suffer from thirst, as he guides you through this life, it is because he will give you drink in plenty in the next life, without any fear of it ever failing you. Let us close with this final prayer, which is the offering over, prayer over the offerings. May the sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind through the celebration of the Paschal festivities through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.